Are you a mum looking for some parenting inspiration, tips and advice, stories on the ups and downs we face in our lives as parents, some humour and a little bit of fun? Then you may have just found what you're looking for. Hi and welcome to the Parenting in the Thick of It show. I'm your host Louise Clark, a certified parent coach known to many as your parenting partner. As a mum to three teenagers, you can bet I've probably been there, done that, and heard it all. Trust me, there'll be few things that I haven't experienced firsthand. I created this podcast because I just love to help mums like you find ways to navigate life in the thick of it and find a way out of it. Episode 594. Ever feel like you are not good enough? Hi and welcome to the show today, where I'm going to be taking on this mammoth topic and trying to help you through feelings of not feeling good enough. What do you do? What do you do when you don't feel like you're a good enough mom or a good enough dad? How does it show up? And how can you overcome this so that you can step into your brilliance, step into your essence, step into your magnificence and your true worth? This really is a huge subject and it can get very, very deep. I'm going to try and keep it more lighthearted. And hopefully as you're tuning in and listening, some of you will recognize this inherent feeling that many of us have in certain situations where we just don't feel like we're good enough. I certainly hear this from my clients a lot. And I know that for me and myself, there's been times in my life where I haven't felt good enough. And when I was preparing for this episode, I was looking at, you know, what is it that's made me feel that I haven't been good enough? Where does it come from? Why do we as human beings not stand up for ourselves like we quote unquote should? Why do we not have belief in ourselves in many situations? Why do we feel that it's arrogant or aloof to love ourselves, to think we're good, to think we're smart, to think we're good looking? And I think a lot of it comes from culture and conditioning, from the society, from our parents, from our grandparents, from teachers, from priests, from so many different places, from magazines, from, oh, you name it. We can find an example of when we have not felt good about ourselves and looking to why and what is it, where does it come from? And I remember one time when I was on one of the many courses I've taken with Dr. Shefali Sabari, who is my parenting go-to, my parenting guru, and also Oprah's favorite parenting expert out there. If you've not ever looked at her work or heard of her, then I encourage you to do so. She's written multiple books, parenting books, and other books as well. And she is a remarkable educator in this field. So I would highly recommend her books. So look her up, Dr. Shefali Sabari. That's Shefali Sabari. So she said to us in this course, she said, we were actually talking about how can we be present and mindful and stay in the moment. And she said, we just need to look at toddlers. Look at the average two-year-old in a park or on the beach or out in the woods or in the backyard or even in the living room playing with toys. They are so present to what is, and they bumble around between various activities and things and objects, and they're right there in the now. And they move from one thing to another, don't question it, and are just really passionate about what they're doing right there and right then. And she said, it's a magnificent thing to watch. and I have watched now and I can see it. So she said, toddlers are so present to what is. They don't have a care in the world. 1 minute they're happy, next minute they're sad, the next minute they're laughing, then they're playing with a worm, and then they find a pebble, and then they take their shoe off, then they decide that they need butterfly wings and they put those on, they go to the dress-up box. They just bumble around until we happen to them. And I love that. Until we happen to them. And by we, she was referring to parents, teachers, culture. And as they get just that little bit older, they start to become more aware of themselves and they start to notice themselves in relation to other people. And we just need to think of what happens at school and how they are compared and ranked and rated against their peers and how that might make them feel not good enough. You know, you think about the child who works on a project and they go in and they hand it in and they get a mark for it and they think it's the best thing they've ever done and the teacher doesn't think it's that great. Or take the 14-year-old that's written an essay or done a project and they think it's really good, they're happy with it, they hand it in and it comes back covered in red pen. I remember that, and I'm sure you probably do. And you get your paper back and you see the C minus with a circle around it, and you see all the red pen, and you just go, oh my God, I'm hopeless, I'm useless, I suck at math or English, I'm not good enough. And then you ask your friends, what did you get? Oh, I got an A, or I got a B, oh, I got a D, I failed. And we compare ourselves. And as Theodore Roosevelt said, one of my favorite quotes, comparison is the thief of joy. When we start comparing ourselves to other people, it robs us of joy. So think about it when you were younger. And none of these people have done, quote unquote, these things to us to make us feel bad about ourselves. It's just how society operates. We grade ourselves. And also we have this kind of thing that if someone dares look like they like themselves or love themselves, there's a kind of like, she thinks she's the cat's pajamas. Who does he think he is? Does he think he's like God's gift to woman? We need to listen to ourselves. And we don't give ourselves the ability or dare. We don't allow ourselves to show that we actually think we're quite good at certain things, because that is judged as being arrogant, aloof, or whatever other adjective you wish to use. So it's neither wonder we begin to feel less and less good enough as we get older. It's kind of ingrained in us. And in the previous episode, in episode 593, when I talked about behavior, I talked about our unmet needs, the need to be seen, heard, understood, worthy, that we matter, that it's safe, and that we are good enough. We need to feel this, because when we go around not feeling heard or seen or worthy or understood, how can we possibly stand tall in our truth, in our essence, and feel good about ourselves? So what do we do? So if you sometimes feel like you are not a good enough dad or a not a good enough mum, what I urge you to do is pick up a book called The High Five Habit by Mel Robbins. I've read it. I think it's brilliant. And it is simple in its makeup, but it is all about a very complex topic of us human beings not feeling worthy and not feeling good enough. And what can we do to reclaim our worth? And again, I remember Dr. Shefali saying to all of us on this course, saying, when you were born, you are born worthy and born good enough. You're born perfect with all your imperfections. There's no such thing as perfect, but you are perfect when you're born. You will all agree that when your child, your baby was born, it was the most perfect thing you've ever seen in your life. And that child is worthy of this place on this planet, worthy of a voice, worthy of being seen, worthy of being understood. They matter and they belong here. But as Dr. Shefali said, life begins to happen to them. And life strips us of these feelings of worthiness and good enoughness. So because you will probably agree with me that your babies were born worthy, they are still worthy. Now, your child might not feel good enough or worthy, but it's up to you to reiterate to them that they are worthy regardless of what other people think, regardless of what they think. They have to reclaim this worth, and so do we as their parents. So we have to start rewiring the wiring in our brain that leads us to believe we're not good enough. You were born worthy. You are still worthy. Life has happened and stripped you of some of those feelings of worth. But can you see that it's impossible because you're a human being on this planet, you're worthy of that, of being seen and heard and understood. So we have to convince our brains otherwise. The brain has wired itself to very often see the flaws, be negative, be critical, be judgmental of ourselves, and think it's bad to love ourselves because that's arrogant and aloof. So that's the wiring that has overridden the original wiring that was there that said, no, I love myself. I'm worthy here. I deserve to be seen and heard, and I'm good enough. So we need to rewire that whole programming that was wired, has come undone, and been rewired in a way that doesn't work so well for us. Because when we show up not feeling good enough, we just cannot parent with control, with assertiveness, with compassion, with empathy, because we're always going to be reactive to what's in front of us because we're coming from a place of lack and not good enoughness. So I mentioned this high five habit, which is so simple, and it's all around the high five and what a high five signifies to us. If you are on the side of a road and you're watching a marathon and runners come by and you high five that runner, they will think, way to go, I've got this, I'm being celebrated, I can do it. It's a very positive external affirmation that we give to other people. What Mel Robbins has realized through research is that if we high five ourselves in a mirror, our brain associates the high five with feelings of worth, with celebrating the person, with believing in the person, with telling the person, you've got this, way to go. So when we see ourselves get this message, it begins to change the wiring in our brains and helps us actually come back to this place of self-worth, of good enoughness. I see myself. I love myself. We see beyond the wrinkles, the gray hair, the maybe if we're overweight or underweight, or that, you know, we might have a pimple or freckles or something that we've beaten ourselves up about. We beat ourselves up about everything. And of course we feel bad about ourselves. We have to stop. So the high five habit is a great way to start to convince your brain that you are worthy. It's a way of reclaiming your worth. So I hope this is resonating with you. It's very hard to put this in a nutshell, especially in 10 to 15 minutes. You know, this is lifetimes and centuries of work that I'm pulling from various places where I've got information from and trying to put it in a way that will help you understand how you can start to feel better about yourself if you are in a place where you don't feel very good about yourself. It also comes down to awareness. Awareness of what you think about yourself. Notice those patterns, those thought patterns, because your thoughts create your feelings and your feelings create your actions. So if you're thinking negatively about yourself, you won't feel very good. If you're not feeling very good, you're not going to act very good. And if your kids are needing you to be the captain of the ship, in control of a situation, managing it so that they thrive and survive, you are not going to be able to do it if you've got this negative tape playing in your head that is bringing you to this moment from a place of negativity, negative energy, lack. It's lack-based thinking. You'll never be able to deliver in a way that is what your kids need if you're feeling this. And not only that, you're going to project your lack onto them, and then they will project it back onto you. They're already getting it from school or from their coaches or from other areas or people that they see in their lives. If your kids are older, think about Instagram and Snapchat and how it works. And think about that in terms of identity, self-worth, what you think of yourself, when they're comparing themselves to others constantly, where they are identifying with their worth and feelings of being good enough and judging themselves based on other people liking what they post, liking the picture, liking the hair, liking the clothes. It's a really, really toxic environment, and it's neither wonder that anxiety and depression are rising at alarming rates in youth today. But let's look at ourselves and see how good we are. And not many of us are good at believing in ourselves, trusting ourselves, and feeling like that we are inherently good enough. And I'm here to tell you, you are. So how are you going to reclaim your worth? How are you going to feel better about yourself so you can show up in a way that will meet your child's needs? Firstly, meet your own needs and then meet their needs. So if this has resonated with you, do share it with other people. If you know of friends who are down on themselves and beat themselves up and are critical and judgmental of themselves, recommend that they listen to this episode. And then from there, there's lots of other places you can go to do a bit more of this work if it intrigues you. If you need more information, don't hesitate to email me, louise@yourparentingpartner.com. I've got a lot of references that I can give you if you want to go deeper into this very needed work. So I have really enjoyed trying to put this in a nutshell for you today. And I hope that you will tune in to many other episodes on the show. And you can also backtrack almost 600 episodes if you're new to the show and pick out some of the other ones that I've done in the past that might help you. So I always thank you for listening. If you really enjoy it and you haven't rated and reviewed the show, please hop over onto the platform you tune in on and rate and review it and help other parents get the support and advice that they need. So until next time, thank you so much for listening and bye for now. That's it for today's episode on the Parenting in the Thick of It show. If you enjoyed the show, please do share it with your friends and family. And remember, if you find yourself stuck in the thick of it and can't see a way out of it, please send me an email. I would love to help you. My email is louise@yourparentingpartner.com. And don't forget to take a look at the Parenting in the Thick of It family organizer that I created. It's an evergreen family calendar guaranteeing 12 months of use from whenever you start. It also includes beautifully illustrated, informative, and interactive monthly parenting theme pages to guide you through the year. It's the perfect organizer for busy families to keep track of all their activities, plus help parents be the best parent they can be. It's more than just a calendar. You can find the link for this and the other social media platforms that I am on below the description in this episode. Thank you so much for listening today, and I look forward to being with you all soon. Bye for now.